Blog Talk Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough. 'Cause here we are back where we were before. Nothing ever changes. We're back to being strangers, wondering if we ought to stay or head on out the door. Just once, can we figure out what we keep doing wrong? Why we never last for very long? What are we doing wrong? Just once, can we find a way to finally make it right? To make the magic last for more than just one night. We could just get through it. I know we could break. My all, but I think my all may have been too much. Lord knows we're not getting anywhere. Seems we're always blowing whatever we've got going, and it seems at times the more we've got, we haven't got a place.
Tuned into the most powerful platform for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. You're tuned into the platform for black liberation, empowerment, and edification. This is the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the almighty, all-wise, true and living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Come again, my beloved family, let me say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform for truth anywhere, bar none, on the face of planet Earth and the airwaves around the globe. This is your platform. This is the Star and Crescent Report. And today's show is titled, The Debt Tsunami is Drowning the Western World, Part 3. It's all coming down. Yes, this is the third installment of our three-part series of The Debt Tsunami is Drowning the Western World. Now, let's get right into this thing, and I'd like to thank all of you for joining us around the globe. We know that we have large audiences in Australia. We have audiences around the world, but I'm talking about the major audiences, Europe, South Africa, the Caribbean or Caribbeans or whatever you want to say, Venezuela, Brazil, North America, which includes Canada, the U.S., and some people say Mexico. Some people say Mexico is Central America. Some say South America, whatever you want to call it. And we have a large listening audience in Asia, specifically Australia, Japan, China, Pakistan. We'd like to thank all of you who are large audiences and those of you around the globe who are small audiences. We'd like to thank you for giving us your ear this morning. And so we're going to talk about a few things. I want to refresh your mind on a few things that is going on. But I want to bring something up, Brother Rashid, if you're listening. Remember, you and I were talking, and I was supposed to call Brother Gerald and fill him in on it, but it slipped my mind because, you know, certain things, family happened, but I got to call this brother in a few days. Today or tomorrow to fill them in on what's going on. But remember when we were talking and I was telling you about something major was going down and I was telling you that America was losing troops in Afghanistan and I was telling you that she hides it and then after a while she'll come up with some excuse like there was a military aircraft crash or whatever I said. But sooner or later my sources were telling me that she's suffering so many heavy losses that she was going to be forced to start admitting that she was losing troops in Afghanistan. And lo and behold, after I said something, she was forced to admit that the Taliban had took another district, another base, and multiple U.S. troops were killed, more than what they're saying, even though they're now admitting that they're killed. But this takes a toll on the American economy, the American psyche, especially those policymakers who are running the money part of America and those who are running the military part of America. Now, I'm talking to you for real, brothers and sisters, because a lot of people miss these things. This is interconnected with what's going on in Syria. This is because remember, Russia, and I was telling Brother Rashid, I said Russia was redeploying weaponry in Syria. It didn't make the news. And then it comes out on Al-Mazdar or whatever it's called that Russia redeployed not only its most advanced warplanes, the Su-57, but also more air defense and more weaponry there, and troops. This goes along. Listen to me good, brothers and sisters. While you're tap dancing around the news, while you're tap dancing and buying into all of this foolishness that is going on in TV and in your cities, even in your lives, the world around you is crumbling and falling. And all of the major players, and even the minor players now, are on the chessboard, and they're moving their strategic assets for what is to come. I have some clips I want to share with you all. I have a whole bunch of clips, but there are some specific clips that I want to share with you all. And these clips are by multiple people, but specifically the ones by Gregory Mannarino. I'm going to share a few with you, but at the all through the show, I'm going to let you know when these specific clips come up. He mentions some serious dates, and he talks about biblical ramifications, and he talks about what they're expecting by these dates. And what's ironic is the date that he's mentioning constantly is the date that we continue to bring up to you. You'll see it along the line. But I also want to say this. Remember that we were the only site, and I have to say these things because nobody pats us on the back. Nobody says these. Nobody bears witness to us. Nobody unless they are forced to. But remember, we kept telling you that America was still in Libya. We kept telling you that things were going to blow up. We kept telling you that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that Libya would play a part in the fall of America. What are you seeing? And remember, each time America deploys a weapon, each time she deploys a troop, each time she sends so-called military advisors or drones, this costs money. And if you, I'm trying to put this in your mind because she is everywhere trying to maintain her empire. She's swinging wildly because she sees and she knows that not only are the circumstances of the world turning against her, but time, the finger of time, is ticking against her. She is an old, declining power, and she's doing everything that she can to maintain her sway, her political influence, and her military power. But her coffers, her treasury, her wealth is gone. It's empty. So she is strong-arming the nations, trying to force them into buying her debt. As we were talking, Brother Rashid and I were talking to him, we brought up the point that there was a report saying that no nation, listen to me good, so when you hear this, you'll know that all the reports that you were reading from all of these newspapers like Bloomberg and all of these videos that you were hearing, you will know straight out that the government was feeding them lies. So they said, I believe it was four years, I may have the years wrong, but the premise is still the same. No nation has been buying America's debt. You understand what I'm saying? Do you know the significance of this? If the nations have not been buying America's debt, and she has been saying that China is still buying her debt, and she's been saying that other nations are buying her debt, what does this mean? This means that she has been exposed, first of all, as a fraud, because the nations were not buying her debt. In fact, the nations have been selling off America's debt, right? And she had bond sales a few months ago that flopped dramatically, that she had to cancel one. Did you understand the ramifications of this, especially for the so-called world's only superpower and what it means to you in your life and what is to come here in America? See, why are you preoccupied with the March Madness and the winning of the national championships in basketball? Do you understand that hyperinflation is on its way? Do you understand that things are turning for the worse everywhere across America? Do you understand that she's digging herself in such a hole that is so deep that she cannot stand on the shoulders of her allies and get herself out of it? Do you know that? Do you understand that the more America is suffering, the more she becomes arrogant? But the more she becomes arrogant, the more justification God has in bringing America to her knees. And because she will not share equally with you, her ex-slave. God is going to take everything, right? Remember the story of Lazarus, right? Remember all of these biblical stories pointing to the wealth of the rich man being taken from them because they would not do right by their slaves. This is referring to America and you. Because she won't treat you right. She won't do right by you. So the sword of justice has swung against her. And she's losing everything. Everything. And I mean everything. Think about this. I just want you to think about this. She invaded Afghanistan on false pretexts, right? Because she wanted to get into Central Asia. All this is connected geopolitically and economically. I'm just giving you something, okay? Because she wanted to get in there, into Afghanistan, the underbelly of Russia, India, China, and Pakistan, and Iran. And she wanted to destabilize these nations and have them more concerned with stability on their borders so that they could not challenge her power and authority globally. And at the same time, she can use that as a drug hub. And she can use that as a hub to siphon off the untapped resources there. By thinking that she could outsmart time and prophecy, it put her in such a hole and caused her exposure to the Central Eastern Asian nation, right? And it cost trillions of dollars to prosecute and persecute and maintain propagating the lie of this war on terror. She expanded this across the board from Iraq to Libya to Syria to Mali. She's all over the board, right? For by their lightest estimates, her so-called global war on terror has cost her no less than $6 trillion. Upwards, some say, when it's adjusted for inflation, between $12 and $15 trillion. What have she gotten out of it? Nothing but more debt. Loss of life, loss of standing internationally. An economy that is imploding at home as you see more and more stores, more and more banks close, as you see prices continue to rise and products continue to shrink. As you see a great explosion in the great racial divide and a great explosion in the wealth, the have and the have not divide. This is all connected. Because the war machine thought that she can continue to expand. Remember, she must expand her debt to continue. She also must expand her military tentacles so that she is able to expand her debt to force nations at the barrel of a gun to accept her and her dollar. And when this is no more, when she's no more able to or no longer able to, things starts to decline, and we're living in the decline and the fall of that right now. Go to any store. I promise you, just go to any store. You'll see things that are shrinking, but they're costing the same price or more. You're getting half of what you used to pay for the same or more in money, right? Your power bills are going up. Food bills are going up. Mortgages, everything is exploding. And all of this inside what America turns as an economic boom. How the hell is that possible when homelessness is exploding? People are having to get 2 and 3 and 4 part-time jobs. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. So what we're here to show you is that under the threat of the judgment, America is being exposed as a hollow, empty, worn-out power that is destined to fall. You might not want to hear this. You might not want to bear witness to this, but we're going to prove to you today. But we're going to refresh your memory, okay? Okay, we're going to refresh your memory. I want you to listen closely. I'm not going to play this whole, well, you know what? Forget it. I want to go straight to Mr. Gregory Manorino now. I'm going to say this to you. And I want you to pay close attention to me. The interview that he gave was long. So I cut it up, but in the first part of it, he's just rambling. The first minute of it, he's just rambling to introduce his people who are listening to him, to his lecture or whatever he's giving. But I want you to pay close attention when I play these things, okay? Because they will mean a lot, especially for those of you who are just joining us, especially when you listen to the dates. But before we get to those two clips that I cut up, and remember those two clips, I think one is like 13 minutes and some change, and one is like close to 10 minutes. Let's go to this other clip to introduce you to it, which is a 13-minute clip. I may or may not play the whole thing, but I want you to listen to what he's saying. Listen to some of the things that he's saying, okay? Because it has relevance in the death tsunami that is hitting the Western world. Remember that America, as we say Western world, remember that America is the greatest, the richest, the most influential, and the most dominant nation of the West in the annals of the last 6,000 years. Therefore, she is the pillar. She's the rock of NATO, right? She's domination. She's in the dominant position in Europe, right? And all of them kowtowed to her, even though they bite their tongues. And they are trembling because they want to one-up her. They understand that she is the pillar of Western domination, the pillar of capitalism, greed, the pillar of Western pride and military and white supremacy. And if this pillar, which is the weight-bearing load of the house, if this pillar cracks, or if there's any fissures in the stones of this pillar, it's time to watch out because the house becomes unstable. Is that not right? And if the load-bearing pillar of the house crumbles, the house is no longer safe to live in, because sooner or later it will come crashing down. Is that not right? So I'm telling you this is because when we say the debt tsunami is drowning the Western world, it is not just America. Do you know that they're playing musical chairs with the debt? So while you're preoccupied with what's going on in basketball and baseball and football, do you understand what this means? What this means is they are, like, if you have America, you have the EU and the 28 or 29 nations in the EU. Each one of them is actually the ones that's buying each other debt. The Fed, because America's debt is so huge, not only is the Fed buying its debt, its own debt, but so are the European nations. And as Greece and Italy comes under strain, then you hear the other European nations and America buy some of their debt. I mean, this is a musical chair, a hot potato. This is unheard of. This shows you the depths of despair and desperation in them if they're in this position. You understand? Brothers and sisters, I want you to listen to Mr. Manarino. This is not the clip that I'm going to go into depth on, but this is one of the clips I want to preface those other two clips with, okay? This is 13 minutes. I might not play the whole clip, but I want you to listen closely, okay? Pay close attention.
My lovely friends, it is still Thursday, April 4th, 2019, and I am going to try to stay calm here. But there's a lot of stuff we need to talk about. I have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth, so let's just take it a little bit at a time. Stocks finished higher today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average put on about 166 points. Boeing took off today. A nearly 3% gain for Boeing alone. Now, how many of you recall someone that looks exactly like me, in fact, it was me, explaining to you for weeks and weeks that Boeing would not be allowed to fall. They were going to prop this up. They were going to keep it in their back pocket if they needed to use Boeing, because if it's waiting in the Dow to help prop up the stock market, well, that's exactly what we witnessed today. Nearly 3% gain for Boeing. Now, the tech sector finished in the negative. So today was clearly driven with regard to the Dow Jones Industrial Average by Boeing. Again, because of its weighting, and I know that does not surprise you, because I explained to you that this would happen like this. That played into what we saw with stocks today. Now, there are two other things that are absolutely tremendous. And I, you probably are aware of at least one of them, well, if you saw my video this morning. Now, I want to read a few things to you so you can understand what's going on. Just bear with me a minute here. It's actually it's incredible. really is. All right, so we understand what happened here with what's going on here with China. 2025 is when all of this is going to conclude. Until that point, what really happens now doesn't matter. China was moved out of the way to clear the way for stocks to move higher.
I stopped that. Did you hear the date? Did you hear that date? I'm going to replay the whole thing, but did you hear that date? 2025 is when this thing takes place. This is their projection. Wonder why they projected that. Huh? A little birdie told them, right? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we're on point with what we're telling you. And notice that we don't change what we're saying. But they do. And when they change what they're saying, what they've been saying all along, they change it in line to what we have been saying for so long. Because remember, Gregory Mannarino, prior to Trump becoming president, he was a believer. He was drinking the Kool-Aid. And so were so many others of them. But they have been hit with a fresh dose of reality because of the economic ramifications of the policies of this nation. They are scared as hell at what they see over the near horizon. Now I'm going to play this again and pay close attention to that date. Remember what we told you? That 400 years from 1555 to 1955, right? This is our personal calculation. And you get a 60 to not exceed 70 year grace period, which brings you to 2015 to 25. What started happening in 2015? The markets went haywire. The global system, the financial system went haywire, right? And we're living in the ramifications of what took place then, right? And they see what's coming down the pipeline to 2025, what we have been telling you. But listen closely to it. So we'll go back to this. Pay close attention.
My lovely friends, it is still Thursday, April 4th, 2019, and I am going to try to stay calm here. But there's a lot of stuff we need to talk about. I have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth, so let's just take it a little bit at a time. Stocks finished higher today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average put on about 166 points. Boeing took off today. A nearly 3% gain for Boeing alone. Now, how many of you recall someone that looks exactly like me, in fact, it was me, explaining to you for weeks and weeks that Boeing would not be allowed to fall, they were going to prop this up, they were going to keep it in their back pocket if they needed to use Boeing because of its weighting in the Dow to help prop up the stock market? Well, that's exactly what we witnessed today. Nearly 3% gain for Boeing. Now, the tech sector finished in the negative. So today was clearly driven with regard to the Dow Jones Industrial Average by Boeing, again, because of its weighting. And I know that does not surprise you because I explained to you that this would happen like this. That played into what we saw with stocks today. Now, there are two other things that are absolutely tremendous, and I you probably are aware of at least one of them. Well, if you saw my video this morning. Now, I want to read a few things to you so you can understand what's going on. Just bear with me a minute here. It's actually it's incredible. It really is. All right, so we understand what happened here with what's going on here with China. 2025 is when all of this is going to conclude. Until that point, what really happens now doesn't matter. China was moved out of the way to clear the way for stocks to move higher. The worry on the market about, you remember, it was like the timeline was like, oh, it was literally 2 weeks. Then it got moved out to the end of last month. Then it got moved out to the end of this month. Then President Trump and Larry Kudlow both said, oh, well, there's no timeline. Now we have a 2025 target for this to conclude. The market loves it. It's out of the way. It's kind of like a deal has already been reached in many ways. Market doesn't care now. The other thing here that has cleared the way big time for stocks to continue to move higher is this issue with the Mexican border. President Trump earlier on live TV, broadcast everywhere, explained that he's giving Mexico 1 year to stop the flow of drugs and illegal immigrants into the United States. There will be no border closure. Now, this is what came out, and I want you to pay attention to this. Look, I'm not putting down the president, and I honestly do feel bad for the guy in some ways. It's the truth. He doesn't call the shots. It's the banks. It's Wall Street that calls the shots, and I'm going to prove that to you right here. President Trump was threatening to close the border. It was everywhere. It's an emergency. He had his security secretary out there. It's an emergency. We got to close the border. You know, was everywhere. But today, it's not an emergency anymore, and I'll tell you why. And I'm going to read this to you. Multiple business groups warned the president against closing the border because of its economic impact. Hence, the border will remain open. So I followed up with, well, I guess business / money takes precedent over an emergency. Is anyone shocked? Of course not. That's the mechanism here. Very, very simple. And, of course, it's going to be spun, but, you know, and a lot of people are angry. A lot of people were writing to me today who are furious about this. And I understand that. Believe me. And maybe I'm a fool to sit here and say that I kind of feel bad for the president a little bit, but it doesn't matter who sits in the pretty White House. Does not matter. The world is not run, I will repeat this, by kings, queens, monarchs, dictators, or even presidents. It's run by the banks. It's run by business. So no border emergencies don't matter. It's about business. It's about pushing cash into the pockets of the CEOs, the pockets of the bigwigs at the corporations, the banks, the energy sector. That's it. That's all that matters. We the people, persona non grata, we don't matter at all. There's no border emergency because money takes precedent here. Period. It's over. So just, again, like yesterday, I left you off with a barf bag scene. So when you hear, again, if it comes up, how there's a border emergency, if our president starts talking about it, you know, vomit into the bag again, because it's not true. I mean, there probably is an emergency over there. It doesn't matter, though. What matters is business. What matters is trade. That's it. China, off the table. You know that. Till 2025. That's a long way off. So this is a big, fat, ugly green light, in my opinion, for more cash to move into the stock market. Off the table. Border will not be closed with regard to Mexico.
So I stopped it right there. You see the date that he keeps emphasizing? And why did he emphasize China within that date? Is he just talking about the market? Or is he talking about something else with that? See, these are the things that you have to ponder over. We've been telling you these things. Now, we've told you that they are so greedy that they will sell their mother for an extra buck, right? What Trump is worried about with the border, as he insults people, he's more so worried with the security of the border because of prophecy. This is why he's so concerned with the border to the south. He knows that scripture tells him that those 10 horns would burn the whore with fire. That they were going to come up through her border and kick her behind for the things that she did to them. He knows that. But at the same time, America is what you call a capitalistic society, right? And we are in the middle of coming up on a election season, right? So they need money to keep the allure of a booming economy. So they're caught in this catch-22. All the while, in the backdrop, there's a date that awaits them. At 20 what? 2025, is that not right? All right, there we go. So we're getting this. We're getting the gist of what is going on here. Because, see, they're trying to pump up the markets. they're trying to keep the allure, the illusion of prosperity, even while people are suffering unheard of. You know, 2 and 3 part-time jobs to try to pay bills. Now you need not only a husband and a wife, but you need a husband and a wife, 3 or 4 children working, and then renting out one of your rooms in your house to make. Have you noticed that gas prices continue to creep up? This is no accident. All of this in the midst of a debt bomb that is exploding. The wealth of America and the West is being ripped from their hands. Matter of fact, as we're talking, let me read something. Grab this Fall of America. Fall of America, page 252. Listen to this. The judgment nears. This is what the chapter is titled, The Judgment Nears. And why would he title this The Judgment Nears and talk about the losing of America's wealth? Because as her end nears, those things which she held dear to her, power, influence, and wealth, and domination of others, would be stripped from her. I hope you're listening closely. Right? So, everywhere that we look, and everything that we can think about, marks the end of this world. There never was a time in the history of the United States of America that the president goes out to try to visit the heads of all the nations that seem to be somewhat his equal. And when he talks about the president doing that, he's talking about the president himself and the presidential administration, because they are his ambassadors to the nations, right? Is that not right? So he goes and says, he is like a criminal who has committed a crime. Well, hold on, stop right there. Are they investigating this criminal and accusing him of multiple crimes? Huh? Is that not his pedigree? Nobody is accepting his legitimacy except hardcore, down and dirty people who believe that there's a chance to offset the fall of white supremacy. So he says, he is like a criminal who has committed a crime, and he hopes for mercy from those whom he has committed the crime against. So he goes over there, and as China says, we'll stand independently from you. We'll trade with Russia. What does he do? Go sells his ship through the Taiwan Strait to cause a provocation. Then he'll say, we're going to tax your imports. That's a provocation, right? This is to get his enemy to the bargaining table with the few levers that he thinks he has. So after making a big stink about it in the news and threatening them and sanctioning his own allies to force them into sanctioning China, they go to the bargaining table and they present to the world, we finally made China agree to this. China gives them a few crumbs. We finally made China agree to this. But if you look into the deeper inner workings of the agreement, China wins out. Right? I want you to listen. So the same goes for Russia. Russia opens up gas and oil pipelines to Europe. America sanctions and causes explosions. As a matter of fact, as I was telling Rashid recently, those explosions that took place, I believe they were in Texas, at a pipe, gas facility or pipeline, whatever. Those were in retaliation, Chinese retaliation, and it was successive. It was within 2 weeks, which mimicked the two major warehouses and manufacturing facilities that blew up within 2 weeks in China. What you don't understand is why you're watching TV, the game is afoot. War is on, baby. This stuff is going on underneath your physical sight. It's happening. This is why they are warning each other, and every time, if you look closer, you'll see something. There's a tit for tat but you don't take the time to look at these things. There's a whole bunch of things that a few sources shared with me about what is actually taking place in the buildup in Europe. And maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that today, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk about it on the next show. This is why this show is the most censored show on the Internet. This is why they continue to mess with the microphones. This is why they cut you off. This is why they cut me off. This is why they remove my dashboards. This is why they prevent me from scheduling shows, because I'm going to give it to you raw, butt naked, without a chaser. I want you to down this truth straight, without a chaser. But listen, he goes and says this. He is like a criminal who has committed a crime, and he hopes for mercy from those who he has committed the crime against. So he says, Russia must get out of Venezuela. We cannot accept a foreign power in our backyard. This is a threat to national security. So you deploying troops in Ukraine and in all of the Baltic states is not a threat to Russia. And that's in the eastern, pretty much western eastern hemisphere. But you don't see anything wrong with that. But you see something wrong if it happens to you. And so you blow up this stink and this brouhaha about this so that you can get attention to it, so you can justify your wicked plan. But remember, all the while this is going on, I cannot stress this enough, that America is broke, black man and black woman. She's broke. She's financially insolvent. This is why you see Russia doubling up and tripling up and quadrupling up on gold. This is why you see China coming out saying, well, you know, we've increased our gold supply for 4 months, but we're not one of the top five or top 10 gold holders in the world, when all of the market analysts say that China has between 10 and 30, some even say 40,000 tons of gold that they're not even reporting. See, there's a war on every level going on here, and the empire is stuck in the mire. I want you to pay close attention. He says, we cannot escape our doom when it comes. Teach us the Holy Quran and the Bible. They showed no mercy. See, this goes back to the economics, what I was talking about. Y'all thought I got off the economics, but I'm going through it. All of this is connected. They showed no mercy at all to the black slaves. See, this is why the judgment is coming to them. This is why they're getting broken in half. This is why their power, their influence, and their wealth is being taken from them, because we built this nation on our backs. And none of it was shared equally with us. Therefore, we must get some form of justice, and the justice that we receive will be, and I'll say this to you, go read Genesis. Go read the first five books of Moses and see what happened to the so-called children of Israel as they were in the midst of Egypt, and the judgment was on Pharaoh in Egypt and what they came out of Egypt with, okay? I want to give you an assignment, so that you can study, just like you study the games and all the stats of these ball players. Study the stats of scripture and theology so that you can come up with the right answer for your life. Let's go further. He says, they showed no mercy at all to the black slave. They treated the black slave worse than any human being has ever been treated. They continue to do so in the face of divine judgment. If you don't believe that America is under threat of the judgment, she's losing out internationally. She's losing out politically. She's losing out her military footing in the Middle East and in Africa and in Central Asia and in Eastern Asia. She's losing out in Central America and South America and the Caribs. Hell, she's even losing out within her own borders, right? And all this while, there's a headline saying that much of Western Oregon on flood watch as rain is melting, snow pushed rivers to flood stage. It's talking about this. Massive blizzard to hit the Rockies in Midwest Wednesday, bringing heavy snow and high winds just weeks after a bomb cyclone hit the area. You don't think that's judgment? All while the economy is in a tailspin. And remember that America still has not recovered from that hurricane that nearly destroyed her F-22 military bases. I remember she lost some F-22s. Now, these are some expensive planes. Those and the F-35s are the most expensive plane pieces of junk ever put on earth by these people. Trillions of dollars. And she lost dozens of them. She's trying to hide her losses. And the base has been almost ransacked. She says that she needs at least $1.3 billion to start to make amends for the losses that she suffered during that storm that hit the base on the East Coast, the southeastern coast. See, when these storms take place, especially if you have a heavy rainstorm, then after that, river swell, right? Dams break. Crops are destroyed. These are billions of dollars of after effects of the billions of dollars of the storm effect. So that's billions on top of billions. What about the snow? The snow destroys all that, plus the snow has water runoff, flooding, and all of this with it. Billions of dollars. You don't think that's a judgment? Huh? With all of the hell that America continues to put you under, and all the hell that she continues to throw on everybody on the world, around the world that won't stop and dance to her tune, you don't think it's justified for God to throw it on her? I'm asking. Because we're talking about justice and right and righteousness. But listen closely. Let's go a little further. See, I told you we're going to talk about the economy, but we're going to go into those clips I told you about in a minute. But listen to this. It says, pay close attention. They remind you, of the parable of the rich man and the poor man. This is why I continue to tell you to read the Bible and read the Quran, read these scriptures, study theology, so that you can understand what's going on in real time. Because what is going on is written. It's written. And sometimes if you pay close attention, you can avoid the pitfalls. It says, as long as the rich man enjoyed luxury, he cared nothing about luxury for his slave, Lazarus. Now stop right there. Remember, prior to America falling to this economic plight, when black people complained about not having, and black people complained about the system against them, and black people complained about the system preventing them from doing this and preventing them from doing this, and how all of the levels of power was against black people. Remember how, oh, no, everybody can make it in America. Oh, America is great. Stop. We brought you from Africa. Remember that arrogance? You should be lucky you're not in Africa with bones in your head. Remember all that? The arrogance of this is now returning. And now as they lose their wealth, as they lose their power, they're protesting and rioting and talking about inequality and we need jobs and this. The same thing that you were screaming about, that they told you, go back and just be happy. They are now up in arms and getting their AR-15s and all types of rifles and guns and threatening to overthrow the government because they're losing what you have never attained in this country. Huh? See, justice. That's judgment. Let's go further. It says, they remind you of the parable of the rich man and the poor man. As long as the rich man, America, I'm saying to you, enjoyed luxury, he cared nothing about luxury for his slave, Lazarus, the black man here in America, I'm telling you. Then at last, the rich man fell into poverty and he was unable to get help, even for himself. Why is America not able to get help from her partners? Why can't they bail her out? Because God laid a catch-22 for America. And when America thought that she had overcome prophecy, she took the world off the gold standard. God allowed her to do that so that she can hang herself. And she thought that if I can print up this money, I can go over there and get something to bag my worthless paper, then I can expand my empire and I can break the Soviet Union, my only and my greatest competitor. Right? I can do this because I can unhinge my currency from the gold and the silver, because hell, I don't have it anyhow. But I got the barrel of a gun, and I can go over there and tell those what they call sand niggers. That's what they call Arabs. The Arabs don't like us, but the whiter man calls them sand niggers. But anyway, I can go over there and say, listen, You sell your oil and dollars, we will recycle the dollars and build up you this desert land of yours and make it into big cities, and we'll expand our debt empire. If you accept it, we'll put you in power and you'll do this, this, and this. If you reject it, we're going to bum the hell out you. Right? That's the deal they gave to them. And they thought that because they secured this deal, that they had beaten prophecy, and now they were unhinged from any financial or fiscal constraints, and we can spend into oblivion. And no nation on earth can spend like us because we have the internationally recognized reserve currency of the world. See, that's how God, he lets you feel like you that. He feeds you that hubris. But one day you're going to be full. Your stomach gets full. And if you eat too much, eventually you have to throw up. So this is what's happening to America. She thought she had gotten away with it, and she thought she had beaten prophecy in 89 when Reagan teared down this wall, Mr. Gorbachev, and the iron wall or the iron curtain came tumbling down, and they thought that and you can hear it in the news, not a shot was fired, and the wall came down. They said that because they know prophecy. They thought they had beaten prophecy. But God had got them on the back end. They didn't understand that. And now all of the policies of yesteryear is coming back to bite the American empire today because the debt situation is unsolvable. She is the largest and the greatest debtor nation in the history of the world. And the reason, again, what he says, then at last the rich man fell into poverty and he was unable to get help even for himself. Well, what does that mean? That, remember, in the Bible it talks about that harlot, that whore that all the great whore, it calls America, that all the nations of the earth fornicated with. Right? Talked about that. See, these nations had fornicated with this whore because she was beautiful. She was attractive because at the time she had wealth. She had power. She had influence, and they wanted a part of that. So they fornicated with her, did her doings, did her biddings, and intertwined their economies with this harlot. And so now Europe and all of the European nations are in so much debt, there's no getting away from it. But Asia started pulling themselves out of debt, even though they have accumulated debt. Africa was never allowed into it, and that is by divine right. And now what are we seeing? The tumbling down of the financial global. They're telling you, they're looking at a financial global reset, or they call it the global economic reset. We need to start from scratch. Start over. That's what they're saying. Right? There's too much debt. But this is the rich man. He fell into poverty. And he's no longer able to get help for himself because even if all of the nations on earth put their assets together, which now they're trying to lift the assets of the total global economy to $64 trillion. One time it wasn't even that. How the hell you continue to pile debt, but your assets continue to go up? See, brothers and sisters, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not no butter knife either. How in the hell, like with America, your economy goes from $10 trillion to $14 trillion. Notice your economy going up as your debt cycle goes up. How in the hell is that possible when your production continues to plummet? And then all of a sudden, China reaches a $14 trillion economy on par with what America said a few years ago. And then America announces our economy has now reached $22 trillion. I say to you, are you butter knives? Or are you them Ginsu knives that can serrate and cut things and see through and pierce through all of the buttery lies that they're telling you? How in the hell can your economy boom like that when unemployment explodes, homelessness explodes, hunger explodes, debt explodes? Your manufacturing capacity is kaput. Your ingenuity is tanking. How can you expand like that? I'm asking you this. Common sense. You don't never ask this. You just read it. You take what the devil tell you, hook, line, and sinker. ironically, the economy produces $22 trillion, and ironically, the U.S. debt just reached $22 trillion. Didn't that happen when the U.S. economy, ironically, was $14 trillion? Well, didn't it happen when the economy was projected at $18 trillion? Talk back to me. Brothers and sisters, you got to look through this stuff. So, I did a clip on my show one time. Excuse me, my chair is squeaking. My children gets in my desk chair, and they're spinning in. So if you hear the squeaking, you got to overlook that. But anyway, I'll buy another one, but not right now. Right now, we got to get into these truths, this fact. Listen. America, her debt was, and I played on this show one time, a few times. One of the professors who did an estimate of the U.S. debt, and this was from I think 7 or 9 years ago, probably about 10 years now, 8 to 10 years ago. I played the clip last year, year before last, but now it's about 8 to 10 years. And at that time, he estimated or guesstimated that the U.S. true debt was $222 trillion. This not including that off-market debt of derivative market and all that other stuff, but he just estimated that the debt was roughly $222 trillion or more. Now, you hear other people are saying that the U.S. debt is the real debt is $222 trillion. How in the hell is that possible? I'm asking, because I can play the clips from the years ago. You telling me that the debt remained the same when your spending increased tenfold? I'm asking you this. If your spending increased tenfold and your manufacturing and your receipts, your government's receipts for resources plummets, right, how in the hell can it still be $220 trillion? If that's the case, you're supposed to multiply that. The debt should have been multiplied by 10 or more. Is that not right? Bringing you into the quadrillions of dollars in debt. And so again, Elijah Muhammad says that then at last the rich man fell into poverty and he was unable to get help, even for himself. The Bible says of the poor black slave that none came to help, none helped him. Now the rich man gets in the place of his one slave. The rich man can witness how it feels to be the poor man. Stop right there. So, none can help him. Why? Because the debt situation has caught and ensnared those who participated in the economic and political fornication globally. All of them have economic and political gonorrhea. All of their economies are hiccuping and need some type of penicillin to inject in them to stop the bumps and to stop the burning and the bubbling of their economies before they explode. The debt tsunami is drowning the Western world, part three. It's all coming down. All praise is due to Allah. So you see the nations, you'll look over here, they'll say Italy is in $210 trillion in debt. Greece is $300 trillion in debt, blah, 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 okay, or $30 trillion or $30 billion in debt. You'll hear them say stuff like that. So if Europe is mired and bogged down in debt, and they are the allies of America, and they're saying the global economy is $64 trillion or $74 trillion, right? But they say the global debt is in the, quote-unquote, $200-some trillion, even if that was true. You can put all the nations together and add the $64 to $74 trillion together, and they could not come out of the debt of $200-some trillion. This is why America's in trouble. This is why Europe is in trouble. This is why they're falling down. This is Humpty Dumpty being pushed off that wall. And what it says, all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. This is America. She's falling. This is the Western world. Economically and politically, they're being relegated to obscurity. And all while the debt continues to bubble, the buildup for war continues around the globe. Continues. But let's go to the club. I see that, God, man, 30 minutes left. Let's try to get a couple clips in, then we'll wrap. We'll come back on the other side. Let's do one of the clips. This is 13-minute clips. We'll try to see where it takes us. But please, brothers and sisters, if you get hung up on by this, it's not me. I want to apologize to you in advance. Please call back in. For those of you who are listening via the internet, if you get knocked off your URL, please log back in. And they may try to prevent you from doing it. Be patient with it and continue to. And even if you miss a part of it, go back after the show about 20 minutes when they have it on, up again on the blog talk page of Hiram 1555. Go back and listen to it over and get it all. Okay? But let's go to this clip here. This is 13 minutes. Be patient with your brother. I love you all. Listen closely.
Okay, everybody, it is still Friday, April 5th, 2019. This is my post-market wrap-up, and I don't think you want to miss this. I'm going to cover a bunch of things here with you. Truly an unbelievable day in the market. News that we're now hearing, which will not be a surprise to most of you that follow this blog, but still, we need to put a little light on it. Bear with me, because I don't script any of this, and I'm going to try to put it all together so we can understand what's happening. Let's back up to last Saturday. Last Saturday, I said that this week was going to be a bullish one for the stock market. I outlined why in that video, my market's a look ahead. To say the least, I nailed that to the wall. We all did well. I posted my position, what I was doing. We all capitalized on it. And I know if you capitalized on that position that I posted, you're going to pay it forward. That's what it's all about. In this environment, more than ever, we need each other. Okay, now. So the biggest news of probably the year happened today. And in case you live under a rock or just aren't paying attention, it was this. The President of the United States, Donald Trump, is now calling for another round of quantitative easing. Now look, it is no secret. Quantitative easing has never really ended. But this is profound for, again, the president to be calling for more quantitative easing in this environment. And if you are watching the mainstream financial shows today, they're very confused. They're like, hold on a minute. Our economy is booming. It's very, very strong. The unemployment numbers are really good. I covered this earlier. They're talking about U3. The U3 number is the fake number. 3.8, we're not even close to 3.8. You got to look at the U6 number. The U6 number is the real number. It's about 7.5%. It's not good. Anything over 6% is not good. So one has to sit back honestly and say, what's happening here? Let's back up a moment and try to understand what this means. Overt quantitative easing, like the president is now calling for, is an emergency monetary policy. Now, we understand that Larry Kudlow laid the groundwork for this, for a rate cut, at least, last week, the week before that, said the Fed needs to cut rates immediately. So let's talk about what's being set up here. It should be no secret, honestly, that a rate cut is coming. Now, how would this play out with regard to quantitative easing? Okay. In order to get to that stage, the Federal Reserve would need to cut rates more than once, in my opinion. I think the Fed is going to need to cut rates twice, literally go to zero or negative, something we all know is coming, and then they're going to introduce a new round of quantitative easing. Quantitative easing. Let's define quantitative easing. A central bank printing cash out of thin air and just buying debt with it. Now, let's analyze that a little further. The Federal Reserve's balance sheet right now is undergoing a little bit of what's known as quantitative tightening. That means they're selling off some of their debt. Even with that, the debt on the Federal Reserve balance sheet, for which you and I both pay interest on, okay, we'll talk about that in a second, is larger than the GDP of most countries on earth. Let that sink in for a moment. Now, the Federal Reserve, how they operate, first of all, they're a criminal organization. That's the truth. And all the world's central banks are running the show. They are running the show with their respective leaders at this point. You know, actually, that brings me to something. I want to read this to you. Focus for a moment. The Fed's reckless policies of low interest and flooding the market with dollars needs to be stopped, or we will face record inflation. This is a tweet from 2011, not from me. That was now President Donald Trump, citizen Donald Trump. Once again, the Fed's reckless policies of low interest and flooding the market with dollars needs to be stopped, or we will face record inflation. We all understand that he had the same kind of demeanor during the campaign. Something happened. In my opinion, the president has been compromised, and this should not surprise anyone. I believe sincerely that just like his predecessor, President Obama, when they get, before they sit in that pretty White House in that Oval Office, they have a different mindset. Then the rules are laid out for them. This is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to do it. And that's where we get these tremendous turns like that. Now, let me talk about this comment here from Donald Trump, which sounds exactly like something I was saying back then too, and a lot of other guys. So why are we really not seeing inflation just yet? I mean, look, it's almost laughable. They're shrinking the size of everything. They're making it appear that we're not having inflation. And the narrative is very straightforward. And our president even said it today, parroting Fed Chair Powell. No inflation. Our president is saying there's no inflation. Well, it's a very simple concept. And I want you – actually, you know what? I have to do this. If you have a thinking cap by your desk, like I do, obviously, put it on, because this is what we need to talk about, why we're not having inflation right now to an enormous degree. So we understand world central banks, none more so than our central bank, has been printing cash out of thin air in amounts that are unbelievable. In fact, we don't even know how big it is. And they're buying up all the debt. So you would imagine if a world is being flooded with fiat currencies, upside down, backwards and sideways, like we have never seen. It's historic. President Trump, then candidate Trump, or I'm sorry, citizen Trump, knew it. But why are we not seeing hyperinflation right now? Okay, it's pretty simple. It comes down to a term I have used for years. It's called money velocity. You will not hear this term on any of the financial channels. Money velocity, dialing this in a little bit here. Okay. The rate at which cash is moving through our economy, changing hands. Okay. We have been told by our president and a lot of other people that our economy is booming. It's as strong as it's ever been. Now, I know your thinking cap is working because I can feel it. I can feel it. Coming, it's filling the room, you know, right here. You cannot have an economic boom or even a recovery unless money velocity is moving higher. Not only moving higher, but if for it to be a boom, the velocity of money would have to be high. A lot of cash changing hands because the economy is booming. You got it? See, the thinking cap is working. Right now, right now, and don't take my word for it. Go to the Federal Reserve's own website. Money velocity, the rate at which cash is moving through our booming economy, is near historic lows. So, we are not in any kind of an economic boom or in an economic recovery. You can't have it without money velocity moving up, at least not even near historic lows, but we are near historic lows. You understand? I'm going to remove my thinking cap here. You can leave yours on if you like. So let's talk. So we understand what's going on here. And the groundwork is very simple. Rate cuts are coming. Thievery on a grand scale is already occurring. For those of you who may have a savings account here in the United States, you're already earning an interest rate less than the actual rate of inflation. Negative rates will push that even lower. If they actually do go negative, if we get a rate cut, it's going lower. If we go negative, that means you're going to have to start shelling out cash to even keep your money, your cash, in these institutions. Now, if the Federal Reserve were to do what President Trump is now saying, that is to institute another overt round of quantitative easing, they would have to reinflate their balance sheet. Right now, it's a joke. A quantitative tightening, they barely budge their balance sheet. Again, it's larger than the GDP of most countries. So what would that mean? The Federal Reserve would have to print even more cash out of thin air, load up their balance sheet further. And that, again, would punish the dollar, because how does the Fed benefit from this? Again, the Fed's product is debt. That's all they issue, nothing else. You can talk about anything you want, but that's what they do. It's their only product, debt, debt, debt. The more debt a central bank can issue, the stronger they become. Now, the debt on the Federal Reserve's balance sheet has to be serviced by you and by me, by all of us. And how does that occur? Well, they print it out of thin air. They print it out of thin air. Who came up with that scheme? It only had to be a banker, right? But that's the truth here. And the middle class continues to be decimated, with the value of fiat currency continuing to plummet. Inflation is, believe me, at one point we're going to see a massive spike in the money velocity, okay? We don't need to put our thinking caps back on here. Let me outline this for you. Right now, we're near historic lows with regard to the money velocity. At one point, and I've explained this to you, it should make perfect sense. You have institutions, even regular people that are investing in debt. They find it a safe haven, all right? At one point, the debt market, which is the largest bubble that the world has ever seen by exponents, there's nothing like it. And that's all that's sustaining us right now. And that's the reason why President Trump wants more quantitative easing. He's not stupid. Believe me, I know a lot of you think he is. He is not stupid. The man actually is very smart. He can't tell you the truth. He can't say, hold on, everyone, we need more quantitative easing just to keep the debt bubble suspended. All right? I've alluded to the fact that at one point we're going to see a snapback in the debt market. Yields are coming down, down, down. The 10-year yield today dropped back below 2.5 after the president said, hey, you know what? We could use some more quantitative easing, QE4. At one point, those individuals that are holding these units of debt, which are yielding less than the actual rate of inflation, are going to say, am I nuts? Why am I doing this? And they're going to dump the debt. They're going to dump it. And it's going to be countries around the world. China, again, that's another weapon that China has in their arsenal.
So remember that. Remember what you just heard. How sooner or later the nations will look at it and realize that what they have is nothing. So what they're going to do as contingency is snap up real assets. This is why you see, as I said at the beginning of the show, nations like China and Russia and other nations getting gold and silver and platinum and all of these other things and investing in mines and in infrastructure. They're trying to hold something tangible to offset the fall and the decline of the dollar. They need something because if all of your assets is in a debt, because that's what a dollar is, it's nothing but a debt, right? And when that debt is called and there's nothing to back it, you lose everything, right? To give you an example of what I'm saying, as I said before on multiple shows, the white man is very clever. He goes into Central America, South America, the Caribbean, Africa, North Africa, which is now the Middle East, Central Asia, and Eastern Asia. And he goes in there with something that he denominated. He gets paper, especially Europe, because Europe has little resources, unlike these other areas. So he goes and dresses this piece of paper up with nice colors on it, and then he assigns to it a denominal value of that piece of paper, right? And he tells you, listen, I'll trade you for some of your raw materials for this $20 euro or this $20 or $20 piece of paper. This is what it's worth. He assigns the worth to it, even though in reality that paper that has ink printed on it and that number on it has no value whatsoever. So you think so because now you accept that for your assets. And he takes your raw materials back to Europe and back to America, and he refines them. Then he sells them back to you at quadruple the price that you paid for them. And get this. He's so slick that if you violate his code, if you violate his laws, if you violate his policies, he then does what he calls a sanction on you, rendering the denominal value of that piece of paper that he gave you as zero. So, in other words, he strong-armed you. He stuck you up for your natural resources. You understand? This is what goes on back and forth. And yet you don't see it. He's sticking the nations up. When he's sanctioning them, he's sticking them up. I'm going to rob you. I know what you have in dollar assets, but I can reduce that to nothing because all I have to do is say, I'm sanctioning you, and I'm going to sanction any nation that does business with you. I'm going to just say their dollar assets is no value, and I'm going to take them, and I'm going to put them in my book ledger, and I'm going to use them to acquire other assets. That's robbery. That's thievery. Right? That is the mark of a con artist. This is what Europe and America has done. But you didn't see it that way. But let's go further. I want you to listen close to Gregory Mannarino. The time is up. Almost up. We have 12 minutes. Brothers and sisters, can I get about 4 to 5 minutes overtime to talk to you all? I'm going to play this clip. This clip is almost 10 minutes. This is part two of that, what I just said to you. I'm going to rewind just a little bit, and we'll play this, and then we'll come back. And I want to give you a definition of something and a few things, and then I want to play one last four-minute clip, if you will allow me to. I know you have things to do, but the devil probably will stop us from doing a live show, so I don't know. I'm planning for a show Thursday, but I don't know, because every time we do something, they block us. So I'm asking you for your patience, for your time, okay? Listen closely to this part two of what you just heard.
My nuts. Why am I doing this? And they're going to dump the debt. They're going to dump it. And it's going to be countries around the world. China, again, that's another weapon that China has in their arsenal is our debt. It's a terrible liability. So at one point, we're going to get this a massive sell-off in the bond market. The president is well, and I cannot say that any more times, well aware that that's exactly how it's going to play out. Hence, his call for more quantitative easing. Without it, that's it. That's all that's suspending where we are is debt suppression, interest rate suppression, debt being printed out of thin air in epic proportions just to prop this up. When you hear about how great our economy is, and you know the numbers are all fake, U3, that's the numbers with regard to unemployment today, 3.8. You got the Confederacy of Dunces. Oh, it's great, great number, but they're not going to tell you what U6 is. U6 is twice that number or more. There are some who believe it's a lot more than that. But if we just use the numbers they're giving us, look, the truth is always hidden in plain sight. You understand? So you can go to the Fed's website and see the U6 numbers. They're right there. But they're not going to talk about it. So the truth is never far behind. I think it's in a song. The truth is never far behind. I think it's a Madonna song. Wow. I'm really losing my mind here. But it's the truth. I actually kind of lost track of what I'm even talking about here. But I think this really should make a lot of sense to you where we're at, why the calls for rate cuts are coming, the fact that our economy is in dire, dire straits right now, and all you got to look at is the velocity of money. You will not hear that. You won't hear it on the COD shows. They probably wouldn't even know what it is. Their earpieces would go off. Their computers that sit in front of them. You know, if you watch any of them, that's what they have. The earpiece in. I don't have any earpieces. Okay, I am sitting in front of a computer, but I'm talking directly at you. I have nothing else except maybe my tracking device, which is over here. But you're not going to hear about this stuff. It's about look here, don't look here. Trying to put a perspective and understanding on why the president is now calling for more quantitative easing. You have to understand the basics of all of this is having the middle class be slaves, not just to their central bank, but in every other manner that you can think about. It's a very sad thing, and twisting their minds in a way that they can't make any heads or tails of what's actually going on. But if you understand just a few basic things, it becomes very clear to you where we are right now. And the attack on the middle class is about to hit a new level in that we are going to get a rate cut, probably two, zero interest rates across the board, probably negative, are coming. The setup here is for more quantitative easing, more debt on your back, on your children's back. We're stealing from the future just to sustain where we are. How many of you, we call this guy for years explaining to you that the debt needs to continue to grow exponentially just to sustain where we are? Without that mechanism, this entire house of cards will come down so fast, it will be beyond belief. And our president is well aware of it. He is. I've explained to you in detail in these videos what could have been done, what should have been done, the promises that were made by our president at the time, who called all this a big, fat, ugly bubble, the tweet that I read to you earlier. He understands this. He understood this very clearly as citizen Trump. He understood this very clearly as candidate Trump. But as President Trump, something happened. The man has been compromised. There's no other way to put it. And this is going to lead to, again, it just goes back to what I've been explaining forever, a two-tier society of extreme haves and extreme have-nots. This should be very, very obvious to you, at least at this point here. So again, before I let you go, turn off the television. Stop the division. The two-party system, it's a joke. All it's doing is keeping you off balance, unable to think. Some people are telling you to look at this party because they are the enemies. Look at that party because they're the enemies. The truth is, they're a collective enemy against you and me. And you and I and everybody else has to come together. It has to come together. George Washington warned against the two-party system, by the way. He outlined exactly how this would play out. Our forefathers were so much smarter than those that are in front of the camera, because they're not the ones running our country anymore. We lost this country a long time ago, and our forefathers, I'm sure, are rotating in their graves, seeing what's going on here to the United States, how this is being set up right now. I've explained this to you. There's a much, much larger agenda here. The middle class has the potential as a threat to the establishment. You understand? Those that are in power right now, including our president, understand this. He has become one of them. He's compromised now. So every effort imaginable is going to be done to put the middle class in a state of disillusion, a state of learned helplessness. But you're not helpless. Unfortunately, if there were more people like you and I who understand the importance of us coming together right now and not allowing them to divide us and conquer us, we could make a difference, but we've lost. The people out there have become sheep, and it's literally become an issue of a natural selection moving forward. When this thing manifests itself, when all of this debt starts to, all of these extra bills that have been printed around the world are going to chase the same amount of goods at one particular time. Again, it goes right back to the money velocity like I was speaking about. The amount of inflation that we're going to have is going to epic anything we've ever seen before in history. It's the truth. It's going to go up in smoke, but they're going to issue a new currency, and it's not going to be to benefit you. But this is going to – there's going to be a period of tribulation like you have no idea on a biblical scale where millions of people around the world are going to lose their lives. There's going to be social unrest. More worse than you could possibly imagine. And it's a control mechanism, too. That really is the setup here. Inflate the debt. It's in a bubble. The bubble is going to burst. Every effort imaginable has already been instituted and now is starting to be instituted to hyperinflate it even further. So what do you think is going to happen when that debt bubble corrects to fair value? It's going to rip everything down. You have to understand that if you were to look at a chart of global population and the debt, they've risen in tandem. They've literally risen in tandem like a hockey stick. So what's going to happen when the debt bubble bursts? You think the population is going to be able to stay in the same spot? No. Global population will also die off along with the debt bubble. This should be very clear to you. I mean, you don't need a thinking cap. But you need to understand where you're at right now and how this is all playing in. It's playing right into it at this point. I really wish more of us could come together and understand this whole concept, how it's working. It's going on right in front of people's eyes. But they're too blind to see it. The light is blinding people. And this is why people get angry. If you try to put too much light on something or too much truth on something, they get angry and they rebel against you. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to do that with this video. And we should feel sorry for them. We should pity these people. It's really the truth, because they're the ones who are going to suffer the most when this whole thing corrects to fair value and the new system is brought about. Anyway, with that said, I know.
So you hear him talking, and brother, this is, I asked you for about 5 or 6 more minutes, okay? So as you hear him talking about what would be something about being biblical, and all the while, remember what I told you, that he talked about the debt bubble and how this debt thing would be biblical. Now, according to the dictionary, Google Dictionary, it says biblical means relating to or contained in the Bible, resembling the language or style of the Bible. And here we go right here. Very great or on a large scale. So what he's telling you, when this thing blows, the debt will cause on a grand scale never before seen. This is what he's telling you. And this is why he talked about there would be a massive loss of life. This goes hand in hand with the scripture. This goes hand in hand with what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us, because there will be a massive loss of life. In the change of worlds, this is what's going on. What y'all don't understand is we're in the butt end of the change of worlds. And the old is dying out. Oh, and so he talks about this debt, and he talked about how remember at middle part in the show, I was telling you about China and how he was talking about how China has this level of debt on America. Now, I'm going to play a clip for you all. It is about 4 minutes. And on the other side of it, I'm going to explain something and we'll close out, okay? Just give me this time with you all. I really, really, really appreciate it, okay? So hold on and listen closely to this right here. It's 4 minutes, 34 seconds.
The U.S. dollar is far and away the most important currency in the world, heck, possibly in the history of the world. Why? Well, mostly because of oil. You see, oil is traded in dollars, going back to a deal made with the Saudis and OPEC decades ago. Did you know that? It's really important. Here's why it's very important today. Tonight there's a report that the Saudis are threatening to ditch the dollar. How important would that be? Well, incredibly important, because it would severely reduce Washington's clout economically worldwide. But the biggest reason, sanctions. See, that would weaken the U.S.'s ability to enforce sanctions on other nation states. That's why this is such a big story. Joining us now, what could be a momentous move, is RT correspondent John Huddy, who's been looking into this for you. What have you found out, John?
Well, first of all, the Saudis are serious about this, what you're talking about. And if this were to happen, the key word being if, it could certainly have some pretty significant consequences. But first, you know, Rick, let me break down a little bit more what's going on. So Saudi Arabia is, as you were talking about, reportedly threatening to really sell its oil in currencies other than the U.S. dollar if the U.S. passes the so-called NOPEC bill. That means the No Oil Producing and Exporting Cartels Act. And that's something that would open up OPEC members to U.S. antitrust lawsuits. Now, the NOPEC bill was first proposed back in 2000. Past administrations have really balked on passing it, Rick, because of the myriad of problems it could cause. We'll get to that. But back in February, the House Judiciary Committee, and this is important, passed the NOPEC bill on for a vote in the House of Representatives. H.R. 948 is the bill number. President Trump, who, while not publicly supporting NOPEC as president thus far, did support it back in 2011. And while it's unlikely to pass, the Saudis are concerned enough that they're warning U.S. energy officials about the potential consequences if NOPEC becomes law and OPEC, as you said, ditches the U.S. dollar, Rick.
I'm just looking at this and wondering whether this isn't a bluff. And, you know, look, you're a journalist, so am I. We have certain antenna because we've done this business for a long time. And I know that we happen to have a story in our newscast yesterday where the House was threatening to stop sending military arms to the Saudis in their war with Yemen. Is this a reaction, you think, to that, where they're saying, look, you messed with us. Remember, we could do this. We could unstabilize the world, destabilize the world economy.
Well, it's possible, you know, and also it could be related to number one. As I said back in February, you know, this bill, H.R. 948, getting passed on for a full vote, and also Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who spoke at the big energy conference every year. It's the CERAWeek Energy Conference in Houston, touting America's energy industry, warning about foreign companies, foreign business, also Russia and China, which, by the way, are two companies looking at also doing business in currencies other than the U.S. dollar. And this is important, what Pompeo said during this conference. Listen to this. I think we have a soundbite. Listen.
We're not just exporting American energy. We're exporting our commercial value system to our friends and to our partners. The more we can spread the United States model of free enterprise, of the rule of law, of diversity and stability, of transparency in transactions, the more successful the United States will be, and the more successful and secure the American people will be.
And at that same conference, Rick, it's where Saudi officials had, you know, closed-door meetings with U.S. oil officials about this potential, the NOPEC legislation being pushed through. Again, it's unlikely, but is it a bluff, what they're saying? You know,
well, yeah. I'll tell you what, important bluff, even if it isn't, because it's something that would, yeah, affect the world economically in a very significant way. John Huddy, as usual, thank you.
So now you see this. Now, why did the Saudis even threaten this? Because you know that the House of Saud was run by Britain, France, and America. Why did they even threaten this? It's because of China. I'm going to tell you something before we go. Just give me a chance to explain this and then break this down and then come back on the heels of what Gregory Mannarino said before this clip, okay? Please, brothers and sisters, a few minutes. Be patient with your brother. Now, in this whole thing about the dollar, remember that the yuan is being promoted internationally. Remember, China has now the gold bourse that she has that competes directly with the New York and the London bourse and stock exchange. They also have a trading bourse that a side bourse that sells debt just like the U.S. does, right? They've been promoting the yuan as a counter to the dollar. Now look at this. Listen to this. I'm just going to read a few things, headlines for you, okay? Now this is from July 11, 2014, so this lets you know how far this goes back. It says, the yuan gaining currency in Asian, that's A-S-E-A-N, block in Asia. Do you know that Asian, that's A-S-E-A-N, not A-S-I-A-N, I'm not talking about the Asian people, I'm talking about the Asian trading block. It's the largest economic block in the world. Do you know that? I've tried to inform you of that multiple times on the show. It's not the EU. It's not America. It is the Asian trading bloc, which is the largest trading bloc in the world. And in 2014, they said that the yuan was gaining. Now, let's go up a little bit. From January 11th, from the Bangkok Post, it says, China seeks more yuan use in the Asian bloc. Now, on that same day, it was reported that China unveils plans for use of yuan across all of the Asian bloc. Now, see? And now, what does that have to do with Saudi Arabia? Right? Because China started demanding that Saudi Arabia sell oil to China outside of dollars. And they have been doing most of that pretty much for the last 2 years or so. They've been selling China oil mostly in yuan. This is true. This has cut America out. And this is why America was bribing the Saudis with all of these defense packages to try to get them back on point on the U.S. dollar. I got to tell you these things because this goes to the collapse. Now, let's look at this. From CNBC reported this on October the 11th, 2017. China will compel, and then compel is in bold letters, and it has parentheticals around, excuse me. And it says, China will compel Saudi Arabia to trade oil in yuan, and that's going to affect the U.S. dollar. That was said October the 11th, 2017, right? Now, this is what this says. Exclusive. This is from Reuters. This is March 29th, 2018. That's a year later. Exclusive. China taking first steps to pay for oil in yuan this year. You understand? So, what that is showing you is that China is displacing America in every level, and they are in Arabia doing it also. Remember what I told you, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that that yellow man, that Chinese man, was made to chase down this American white man in every facet of his domination, just like he did our red Indian brother. This is what's going on. And without the dollar as the bulwark and the pillar of commerce internationally, the debt burden would become too heavy for the American empire to carry. She will go down in flames. 404, I cannot take your call at this moment because we have a little time. I wish you would raise your hand a little bit earlier. Call in the next show, and I promise you I'll do it for you. But at the end of the show, I have to wrap this up because I don't want to try people's patience, and I want to bring this to a head. But I really appreciate you for raising your hand, and I thank Almighty God a lot, and I hope he blesses you to come back to the show on the next round. But remember what Mr. Mannarino says, right? He said there'll be riots. When this thing goes down, when the debt bubble explodes, There will be massive loss of life. The divide, the haves and the have-not will grow, and there will be riots everywhere. Elijah Muhammad, what did he say? With unemployment mounting so fast, it will create revolution. And everybody will want to divide the government up into pieces, and every leader will want to grab a piece for his part to try to muster some kind of government pattern after his own way of thinking. Desolation. If we are going to suffer deprivation in a country that has been the pride of the nations, this will make it altogether worse. For everybody will be thinking about the way that they used to live and the freedom and the privileges that they used to have. And this will make anger rise up in the midst. Are you not a witness to that already bubbling up within the society of America as it degenerates by the hour? Muhammad goes further and says, what I'm trying to show you, and this is what I kept telling people who kept saying, well, if I get this person, we can go do this and we can go this. The time is against that. You got to measure everything out in time. So he says, what I am trying to show you is that the prophet Daniel cannot be wrong. Because this desolation that is determined to be poured on the most desolate is aimed at the place in which we now live. And remember, and just remember, in case you forgot, that you cannot expect paradise here when such conditions of desolation is headed toward America. And since we cannot make the prophet's words other than the truth, we expect this desolation, and we are receiving this desolation now. America is in the grips of divine judgment. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, then the billions around the globe, know that your brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life. I can't love you to death. But remember, no matter how much I love you, my God, my Savior, and my Redeemer, Almighty God Allah, in the person of one, Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever, his messenger, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty nation of Islam, will always, always love you best. Until we next speak again, stay strong, stay true, but above all things, stay righteous. I love you all. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
That I like the mood I'm in.